This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Hey guys, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator. DeAndre here with Bill Goldberg and our guest, Craig Jackson. How are you guys?
Very good. I see an error screen on mine. This meeting is now... Oh, there we go. Sorry.
There we go. Yeah, no, with meeting started, we're recording, we're ready to go. CarCast, as you guys know, is brought to you by Bravago. It's the best tasting hard seltzer in the universe, that's for sure. And we appreciate you guys getting your orders in. At drinkbravago.com is the website. You can grab some swag while you're up there as well. We've got three fantastic flavors in that variety six pack. So if you haven't tried it yet, please do check it out. And you know, we appreciate it. And it's our brand as well. So it's not like we're shilling somebody else's delicious drink. We're shilling our own. So we appreciate that. Craig, we're a few weeks away from the Barrett Jackson Scottsdale event. I'm expecting it to be an incredible event, as always. I appreciate you taking the time to join us here. I know things get a little hectic leading up to the event, and it's always interesting for me because I was born in Arizona, so I grew up around going to Barrett Jackson as a kid. I remember your mom front row all the time. Going to the events and cheering them on. And it's just been an amazing thing what your family has built and what you've managed to turn into really just the greatest collector car auction out there, as you'd say. So really
Thank
spectacular.
You. Well, I love what I do. This is my hobby and my business. So I'm very blessed with that the two coincide, and I get to play with cars every day. That's my job. So it's not a bad job.
I know we'll get into some of the things that are going to be happening this year, but I kind of want to go back a bit and talk about how this kind of all started. This was your dad and a friend of his in what, early 70s?
So in the 60s, the Classic Car Club of Arizona, primarily with Russ Jackson and Tom Barrett, started a car show called the Fiesta de los Autos Elegantes. It was a charity fundraising car show to support the arts and the new Scottsdale Civic Center and library. And that went on for several years. And then, as we say, Tom Barrett was one of the world's greatest car collectors. And you know, the local show was phenomenal with all the great classics that he had to showcase. He was having a change in his domestic relations and needed to sell his cars. And that was the foundation for the first auction. He put in 50 cars, which included all the World War II leaders' cars. He had collected all of them. And also my dad put in 17 cars. And it went off so fantastic, they decided to do it again. And that started the auction. They stopped doing the car show, but they kept the charity aspect going. So every auction since then, including the car show, has been raising money for charity. That's the foundation of Barrett Jackson.
It's interesting that, first of all, the charity stuff, you guys have raised millions and millions over the years. Those are always very exciting auctions to go because, we've seen some very generous and amazing things happen where, you know, you're at the end of the auction, somebody's $1 million into a charity car, and then they just give it back immediately and they go run it again.
Yeah.
The Superbird comes to mind when we did it for Daryl Gwynn.
Yeah. Mr. Goldberg here has been a key part of that early on, donating his shorts. I remember that from WrestleMania.
Thanks.
Helping Daryl Gwen out. You look back at history, the people that helped you when you really needed help. And Bill was one of those, and added his notoriety up on the stage and helping us raise a lot of money for charity. So thank you, Bill, for that.
Well, I appreciate it, Craig. And I've said it before, if you guys didn't give us the ability to have the platform, we never could have made that difference, right? And it's a team effort. And I remember being on stage with the Daryl Gwen Foundation, and Tony Stewart and I were up there. We sold a Harley Davidson truck, I think it was. And then somebody comes up and donates. Somebody literally walks up on stage and donates a car to me. And then the following year, I get Ray Evernham involved, and Hendrick Motorsports, and Year One, and get all the other sponsors that jumped on board with that Superbird. Then we brought it to Barrett Jackson. Mm-hmm. I can't remember who exactly purchased it, but immediately after the purchase, they donated it back. We doubled the price. The things that you've been able to do throughout the years have just been unbelievable. And just to be a part of it has been a true honor.
Yeah, this year will be no different. Great lineup of cars. Couple of the OEMs haven't told us what their charity cars are, though, even a week out. They're keeping it hush-hush. So that'll be interesting to see what they bring.
Well, yeah. If we need anything else to increase the anticipation, just add that to the list, because you've professed and come through with a lot of new stuff leading up to Scottsdale this year. So I'm very excited about it. Obviously, we're bringing the pair of demons through, but, I mean, it's just part of a huge, huge event.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the event side of it, because we've all been to auctions around the country. Some of us around the world. We've been to Goodwood and seen the auctions and stuff there. But Barrett Jackson has always been more of an event destination, especially the Scottsdale event. And honestly, all of them have sort of evolved into something really kind of big and amazing. When we been out to Vegas as well a few times. How did that evolve? Was the intention always to have this event? Because you talked about when your dad started it, it was a car show and an auction. And then they dropped the car show portion. But when did sort of the spectacle become something with the auction itself?
You know, when my brother passed away suddenly in 95, I had to make some decisions. So I sent out a questionnaire to all my customers, and I asked them what they wanted. And I sat and read every one of them. I did it a few years in a row, and I kept tweaking it. And what they told me was they want to be entertained. We're there 12 hours a day. We want other stuff to do. We want stuff for our wives to do. We want better food. We want to be able to go and walk around and do different things and then come back and be in the auction arena. So adding television to it when I first took over on Speed Vision, streaming it on the internet since 95, getting a lot of new people to come into the hobby and making it a destination when you came to Scottsdale. And what I love hearing every year is that people stop me and go, I've been watching on TV for 25 years. I had no idea that there's this much stuff here to go see and how many miles you have to walk. It's like going to SEMA. You know, you get your counter done at the end of the day. If you've been walking all the aisles, you're like, wow, that's a lot of miles. And the same when you come to Barrett Jackson, it is just so much to see and it's entertaining. You know, this year we're going to kick it off with Rock the Block. So on Friday night, on January 19th, we're having a concert with Foreigner. That'll be something new for Barrett Jackson. We're taking advantage of the arena. Then the next day we go into Family Day. Part of what our goal has been back to the beginning is how do we get the next generation involved? When I first took over, I changed us from pre-war classics to muscle cars with Steve Davis into resto mods. And now we are really working to bring in the next generation. We do STEM at the auction on that first day, that Saturday. We do on the Sunday, the Future Collector Car Show, which is a judged concours for 80s cars and up. And we get a lot of influencers to come and be the judges. And by doing that, the Meguiar's has stepped up to be the presenting sponsor of that. And that whole first weekend is how do you get the next generation involved? and how do you entertain people? We also are doing the Barrett Jackson Cup, which is 50 of the world's best hot rods competing for money. So if you've been in the Riddler, Good Guy's Car, or Truck of the Year, those type, then you get eligible to come to the Cup. Then we lead into the whole week of auction. Well, we have our Sunday night party. So there's a lot of social aspects to Barrett Jackson, as well as the cars.
You mentioned two things that are really imperative. Keeping your wives busy, right? And family.
And happy.
And happy. And family oriented. I mean, those are two things right there that are so reminiscent of your product. I mean, I can just look at my family and our interaction with the car world from the first time until in 2 to 3 weeks from now. And it's been an amazing journey. I can look back on Gage's upbringing through your auction. So I owned, me as well.
I went as a kid. I lived out there.
Exactly. So, I mean, I got to thank you not only as a car guy, and this is redundant because I continue to do it every time we see each other, but to give us this platform, to give us the ability to pass down the hobby, further grow the hobby, and be so entertained throughout the gamut of the automotive world. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I cannot wait for the next 2 weeks. Every event you do is, you know, better than the one prior to me. And so, again, thank you. You put together such a wonderful combination of things. And it's just an event. I can't even call it an event. It's more of a spectacle than anything.
Well, thank you. You know, and every year we add something. So we added years ago ride and drives. Then we twisted that a little bit and Ford wanted to start drifting. Then Toyota and Dodge got into the action and they wanted to go out and drift with their Hellcats and you know, it keeps evolving. Then we started the off-road experience and we did that. And we're launching the trucks, you know, 80 feet in the back there. And it's not a, you know, we're just going to go do some, you know, rough lumps. We're actually launching and going and having fun. And I think when people come back from the thrill rides where you get to go out in a car, and you're full sideways, full lock with an instructor. It's a visceral experience coming to Barrett Jackson that covers all demographics. No matter who you are, you're going to find something you love there. And I go back to years ago, Bill, you know, Billy Gibbons, I have a great picture of him in a golf cart with Bob Seger. And everybody's walking by him and I come up and talk to him and they go, this is the greatest people watching spectacle on the planet. He goes, everybody's walking by us and have no idea.
Yeah. And it's Billy Gibbons who is very recognizable.
He's just sitting there in a golf cart. And everybody's just walking by. He goes, I just love it. It's all walks of life. And he made a quote to me. He goes, you know what Barrett Jackson is? It's a rock and roll concert that just doesn't end. It goes on and on.
That's a very good description coming from a huge car guy.
Yes. And I love it every time he comes to the auction, you know, and Michael Anthony, and now this year selling Sammy Hagar's loft Ferrari, and
which is going to be a big deal, talking about that car specifically. So the other podcast that I do is Shift and Steer with Aaron Hagar. And Brad Fanshawe, you've been on the show before. You know, you've worked with Brad for a long time.
Oh, and, absolutely.
And Aaron, Sammy's son. I don't know. I mean, Sammy was just kind of thinking he doesn't really drive the car that much. And he really wanted to get into cars that he likes to drive, which has kind of been Goldberg's theme the past year is get into the stuff that I can drive. So, Sammy coming out there and, you know, maybe he's bringing the band. He's got a whole new tour coming out, the Best of Both Worlds, which is all the Van Halen tunes. I just saw him recently in Vegas and what a showman, what a band, yeah. What an incredibly talented group. In the past, Sammy was uncomfortable singing some of the Van Halen tunes that weren't his. He wouldn't sing the David Lee Roth tunes. And let me just tell you how underestimated, underappreciated Michael Anthony is as a singer, because Sammy would walk off stage and let Mikey do one of the old Van Halen tunes. And he is so good. When he turns into a front man, he goes from bass player to front man. He just becomes alive. And it's really wonderful to see. But now having them both play is going to be a fantastic tour. But yes, Sammy's car collection over the years, his love for Ferrari for sure, the LaFerrari that he brought out there. And I know he's probably told the story in the video with you guys, but he flew out there and custom ordered it. And when he got on the plane and left Italy, it was a shit show of a color combination that he picked. And at some point he was just like, no, I think he ended up seeing an old photo, historic photo in the hall
when he was there
and said, oh no, what's that? And they said, no, this is this cream color. And it was kind of rare and whatever. And he's like, okay, let's do that. And I think Ferrari was like, whew, thank gosh.
Because what tells the story in the video. He had a yellow car with stripes all over it.
Goes, yeah. Yeah. It was hideous. It was too rock star-ish. It looked like a crazy guitar from the 80s. It didn't, you know, I just don't think it was
looked like one of Eddie's guitars.
It really kind of did. It did. And it was just, you know, the way he described it, the 80s hair metal band Striper, they had guitars like yellow with the stripes and stuff on it. It wasn't that good. It wouldn't have been a good guitar. So it was a great combination.
It was fantastic.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful car. It'll be exciting to see that. So that's going off Saturday night, along with Bill, your cars. We've talked about them here on the podcast, but we've got the matching demons, the 2018 and the 170, the matching serial number demons. They both got maybe 9 miles and 2 burnouts on each car.
Yeah, that's what makes the 170 famous, that Craig laid a little rubber down at Goldberg's.
In your garage.
in the garage, yeah. You're not the only one.
I want you to know, I go back to the clip and you uttered the phrase that you didn't want to light them up and hit the side of the garage. That's exactly the thought that I had the first time I did it. So thank you.
I was pushing on the gas and pushing on the brake. I'm like, all right, if I cross this thing up here into the side of the garage, that's not going to be pretty. So I feathered it out the door, then stood on it.
Yes, you did. And if you saw the original marks, that's exactly where I was headed, because the floor is so slick, you can't get brakes. Your front end cannot keep you in one spot, so you just start sliding. So yes.
Craig, you've had a chance to see the garage in person.
I have, it's fantastic.
And I haven't been out there yet. It's too cold for me right now. I'll go out there, but it's
what a setting up on top of the hill there with the just that vista in the background, and it's a really special piece of property to have his garage, man cave, and his whole gym upstairs.
And his gym and animals walking around through the garage, around the garage. I'm sure Bill is super relieved to hear you say that you like it, because it was not an easy task building that thing, because either the ground was frozen, or when it wasn't frozen, it turns out there was rock bed there, and just it. I mean, it was a year of foundation work at least. Not something either one of us anticipated when he presented this plan on CarCast a few years ago.
And again, those beautiful 24-foot doors will be replaced again for the fifth time tomorrow.
Yeah. So maybe you should have drove through one of them.
The saga. 100%. Yeah. A better excuse to get it done with priority.
All right, so we were getting into the history of Barrett Jackson. Your dad and his partner had started it, Barrett and Jackson portion of it. But your dad, being such a car guy and being a fabricator, that's rubbed off on you. I remember years ago you coming into Adam Carolla's studio, and we were talking about some of the cars that you were working on personally. I know you're a hell of a restorer, mechanic, fabricator. Where did that come from? Is that from your dad?
My dad, my brother. So, you know, I've worked since I was a kid and worked in our shop. And growing up, you know, that was babysitting basically after school, dropped me off at the shop. Grew up with some pretty I don't know how you would put it, creative guys, but maybe a little rough around the edges. Von Dutch was our pinstriper and our painter.
Yeah.
A lot of great metal fabricators, and I carry that on. So I'm in our, right now I'm in our studio, but our shop's right outside. So once I got, you know, enough money to buy real equipment, now I built a real metal fab shop here. And I grew up, you know, learning how to do an English wheel and a Yoder hammer and fabricate stuff. And we're teaching, we've got quite a few graduates here from McPherson College and just seeing the youth. And that's part of what we're really trying to do is bring more kids into the hobby to work on the cars, enjoy the cars. You know, a lot of people say the kids nowadays don't enjoy the cars, but when you go to a supercar event, they're all over the place. And it's getting the genre cars that they love, but they also love resto mods because it gives them that creativity to go out and do stuff. I grew up loving the cars behind me. And when I started buying the world's great muscle cars, I remember my dad, I bought my first muscle car. And my dad and Barrett and everybody are around. I bought a ZL1 Camaro. And I told him how much I paid, and Barrett and my dad both told me I was out of my effing mind. And I go, okay, put it that I just bought an SJ Duesenberg in the 60s for an extraordinary amount of money. What, were you an idiot? Well, no, that's a Duesenberg. This is the Duesenberg of my generation. Same with the Hemi Cuda convertible. Same with, you know, and you've got to keep ahead of that. So now what is it? You know, it's the 80s cars. It's the 90s supercars, and it keeps on going. And what Barrett Jackson is, we keep growing with the hobby and bringing new people into the hobby. And that was my goal when I took over the company. Back when I took over the company in the 90s, early 90s, if you didn't pick up Hemmings or old cars, you were in a small world. I wanted the whole world to know about our great hobby and bring everybody into it. That's really been our mission statement.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Hey guys, Sean Hayes here. Jason Bateman, Will Arnett, and I had a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to sit down with not one, not two, but three presidents of the United States on our recent episode of Smartless. That's because President Biden, a returning guest, brought two of his favorite pals, former Presidents Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, all joined us for unforgettable conversation. It's a historic episode of Smartless as we pry into the minds of these remarkable leaders. We'll cover everything from their time in office, America's responsibilities in the world, and their personal passions in an episode full of some candid stories, insightful perspectives, and a few surprises along the way. Whether you're a political junkie or just curious about the inner workings of the Oval Office, this episode is a must listen. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to hear from three of the most influential figures in recent American history. Follow Smartless on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also listen to Smartless ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
You've done one hell of a job.
Well, thank you.
Talking about the collector car market and where we are now, which is an interesting direction that I've seen happen in the last few years, maybe more than a few years now, is we've seen the high quality resto mods really start to take off. I mean, listen, there was a time for sure when, you know, even someone like Chip Foose builds you a car for $700,000, it rolls across the block for $150,000. You would just lose your ass on it. But now they're going, and old Boyd Coddington cars are pulling money. Ring Brother cars, Troy Trepanier, Bobby Alloway, Rick Johnson. There's a lot of these cars. Of course, Foose cars. They've really started to bring in the money, and I don't know why they dropped off so hard originally.
Well, I think I could interrupt you there. I think there's a difference, and it's Steve Davis says it well. When you build a resto mod, you know, like if you build it where it covers a lot of people would like what it's being built to cover, and it's not specific. But like when Foose would build a car specific for one person to all their tastes and the way it fits and everything, Steve Davis puts it this way. It's like, you love that purple suit you had custom made for you. When you take it to sell it, it may not fit someone and they may not have really appreciate your color choice. You know, if you look at like Jeff Hayes and what he's done with the Corvettes, and we have so many of these name builders. But I also think, and I said this back in 05 when I was defending Boyd on some stuff, and people were saying, you know, he does this and he does that. I go, what he's doing is showing craftsmanship of what it takes to actually build a car. Yeah, it's drama TV in that. But when you look at cars like the Alumitub, which was all aluminum metal finished, and just some of the iconic cars, it goes back to the 30s when you could buy a chassis and have somebody make you a custom car, or what was very popular, and we're selling a classic out of the Don Williams collection, that a couple of the cars went back and had them updated. And really, that's what we're doing. We're taking these great cars. We love the looks, but we're updating all the technology. And we had a Restomod in here yesterday that we were shooting that they had to spend $600,000, $700,000 on it. I mean, just the amount of 3D printing and carbon fiber. And as we said in the video, I think they took the front badge off and drove a new car underneath it. But it's the 63 Corvette, yeah. But every inch of it's massaged. But not totally custom, resto modded to the highest level. And I think that's a car that will have broad appeal.
You mentioned 3D printing and carbon fiber. I mean, thinking back to when you were starting and fabricating on cars and seeing the cars, I mean, nobody has seen more cars in person probably than your actual eyeballs because of how many times you've done the auction over the years. But yes, look at what some of these builders are doing with things like 3D printing and carbon fiber stuff, and not just 3D printing plastics and rubber materials and things like that. Like, we're 3D printing metal to some extent, some stainless, some things like that is amazing. And even on the restoration side, I remember we were working on, I believe it was a Lamborghini Miura in Adam's shop, and at the time, the only guy in town that we knew with a 3D printer was Jay Leno. And we went over to Leno's garage and he 3D printed some new switches. We needed like plastic switches that, you know, and he made them. His guys made them there for us. And we were just looking at it, blown away. We're like, I can't believe you just made this out of thin air. You know, this machine is dropping these little plastic droplets. And then you just kind of finish it out a little bit to now even stuff. I have a Ford Lightning, a 95 Ford Lightning back there, and we 3D printed side mirrors. I did the quarter window delete, single piece of glass, and 3D printed side mirrors. And then we Evod will cut them all out of aluminum or out of billet for us, and we pocketed the inside and lightened them up. But the one silly piece I couldn't find was the gasket. We needed a new gasket, and I needed it to be a certain shape. And I just reached out to a friend and he's like, oh, I got you. How thick do you need it? I'll bring three thicknesses. And we scanned it and 3D printed gaskets for it. And it was like, great, perfect. Worked out great. Just being able to do that kind of stuff now is pretty impressive, right?
It is. And you look at the shops, you know, you talk about Ring Brothers. I have my first car I'm restoring right now. I kept it all these years. But I sent it to the Roadster shop to have them do the chassis and some of their special touches. Then when it comes back, I'm going to paint it. It was the first car I ever painted. It's going to be hopefully the last car I ever paint. So I'm going to book match it. I painted it when I was between my freshman and sophomore year in high school. Then I blew it up drag racing it on Central, parked it after I threw a rod out of it. And was always going to get to it. So I'm the shoemaker who never got around to getting a good set of shoes. And now I decided after seeing at the Cup last year, Pontiac, that the Roadster shop did, but all the parts that they specially did that they CNC routered out. I'm like, so I went through their catalog of all this stuff and I'm picking out all the stuff that I want them to make for me. Why reinvent the wheel? They've already got the digital profile for it. We just tweaked it for me, and we're making all these custom parts for my first car. So it really is a new world out there of taking old world craftsmanship, modern technology. And I think that's why this generation likes it, because it's a computer, it's unique, it's custom to them, and it's not a cookie cutter. And that's bringing a whole nother generation into car collecting.
Yeah, and they've been doing some amazing stuff at Roadster Shop, and congrats to them for their acquisition. Aeromotive Group acquired them and is now going to be called the Roadster Shop, the overall company. So that's going to be a big thing. So I think we lost Bill, but he'll probably try to connect with us again in a second.
I don't want to lose Mr. Mopar.
Yeah. Let's see. He's we'll give him a second. I think his internet connection dropped. Like you said, you've been out to the garage. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere, and
it is.
I don't even know how he gets internet connection out there, but between that but you never know. There could have been like he just texted. He said he lost power completely in the garage.
Oh, so, great. Well, we could continue on, talk about some of the cars and the collections if you want.
Yeah. So I do want to get into that and some of the cars that are coming up, this year. Well, obviously we talked about,
there you go. Cuda.
Yeah.
It's a 71 Hemi Cuda, pistol grip, 4-speed, matching numbers car, the right colors, the right options, fully documented car. This is coming out of the Frank Teague's collection. So Frank has been a buyer for decades at Barrett Jackson, very low profile, but he had sort of that knack like Ron Pratt had of, if we had a star car and a muscle car, he would buy the best every year. Now we're selling a multitude of the best at the auction this year. So his 71 Hemi Cuda, 71 Hemi Challenger, 70 Boss 9, Yanko Camaro, Copo, ZL1, LS6, you name it. The best of the best are part of the Frank Teague's collection.
And what makes a guy like that decide to move? Because we've seen this before, move an entire collection in sort of one fell swoop. Do they?
Well, this is the first installment.
So, do they reboot the collection, or yeah, do they decide they want to go to airplanes and just up. They're just like, hey, I'm going to start collecting airplanes or boats or art or something else. And I'm just
Milt Robson.
Yeah. You know, look at how many times I've sold John's collection and Staloopy. He loves the hunt. He loves the cars. He drives them all. And then, you know, time for something new. He'll reface the museum. He'll change the collection and we'll do it again. He just loves the action. And, you know, I think it's part of when you're an A-type person and you want to constantly be doing something and changing stuff. And Frank decided, you know, I'll be buying cars at the auction the same time I'm selling them. He goes, I just want to tweak and change out some of my cars.
I was at the auction maybe a couple of years ago. Tammy and I were there, and she didn't know John Staloopy, and she saw a guy coming up into Craig Jackson's skybox, and nice as can be, and had his little dog with him. And Tammy goes, oh, are you allowed to bring dogs? We should have brought the dogs. I go, no. Look, and it's John Staloopy's dog has a bitter pass around his neck. He's got a tiny bitter pass. His dog's got his own little bitter pass. And chances are if that dog is on stage bidding on a car, you know he's good for it.
Yeah, when he made some great TV for years, bidding on cars when the dog had barked, that's a bid.
Yeah, for sure. One of the cars I wanted to bring up real quick is honestly, I'm not a huge fan of the pre-war cars, but the Mercedes 540K special roadster that you guys got going up on the block, that's a gorgeous piece. That's just an amazing car. I don't know much about the history of that car. What can you tell us about it?
So it is one of the special order chassis. And it was shipped brand new, the chassis, to England. Mayfair made a special roadster, a one-off body for the car. And it is really a sexy looking car. And it's one of those cars, it's not a factory body. So they made factory special roadsters. And then they made these chassis that could go out. But it is a the same chassis they built their factory special roadsters, because it has the radiator set back on the chassis. So it gives it this dramatic look of these long fenders and then a long tail on the car for a two-seat roadster. It's been in some great collections. Ralph Engelstadt's collection, he restored it, painted it red. Originally, the car was silver and black, and it's a special car. It comes out of Don Williams, who was one of the founders of Barrett Jackson. That was Tom Barrett's protege. When he left Tom and went to start the Black Hawk Museum and collection, and he went around the world and collected a lot of the world's greatest cars. And this Don unfortunately passed away this past April. And we are selling off the last seven of his personal cars. The special roadsters, the feature one. He's also got a Type 37 Bugatti Type 57.
Nice.
And a Packard. That was one I was talking about, a Torpedo Cabriolet that was owned. It had quite a connection to Arizona. Jordy Hormel used to own the car. From Hormel Meats, and he sent the car to Kellner, who cut the back end of the car off. They took another part of a car off the back of a Renault and put it on the car. Now, this is back in the day. They did this to change and update the car. Don liked special one-off cars, and every one of these cars is a unique car, starting with the special roadster. So those will be part of the salon. You know, in our salon this year, it's supercars, and then we got the collection of Don Williams and then Frank Teagues with his super high-end muscle cars. But we also have a lot of supercars, Bugatti Chiron and 918 and Ferrari Tour de France. I mean, it's just an unbelievable collection of just very diverse cars, and President Trump's Diablo.
I'm going to throw another story in real quick because you mentioned Packard. Pardon me. I was there. I think it was the year that I sold the yellow 383 Cuda convertible. And I was up on stage and my phone rings right after the car sells. And afterwards, there's a 46 Packard that came up. And George Foreman called me, saw me on stage, called me, and I handed the phone to Steve Davis. And he ended up buying the car, the Packard.
That's funny.
I'll never forget that story.
Talking about supercars, one that I've always been a fan of, and is the Lexus LFA. And I know listeners of the podcast have heard this story a few times, but I was invited out to Willow Springs for an event years ago to drive the LFA on streets of Willow. And there was two LFAs there, and there was only two of us basically invited. It was myself and Paul Walker. And it was just a few months before his crash, before he passed. And we were kind of going back and forth between the two cars going, hey, does this one feel a little faster? Is this one tuned a little differently? Just having a blast out there. And then I believe Ken Gucci showed up at some point and he just started smoking us because he's their driver. Paul, nicest guy in the world. Had a great time with him. Incredibly talented driver. He was very fast, a great driver. But both of us were really impressed by the LFA. And look at what's going on with LFA prices. Not just the Nürburgring edition, which is crazy, but LFA, you're right, is a supercar that works. It doesn't break. It just seems to work. Like, we beat on those cars the whole time, all day. And there was two engineers from Japan, from Lexus there. And they just sat there and just drank coffee all day. They didn't even check tire pressure because they're nitrogen filled. Like, I'm like, do you guys need to do anything on the cars? Or like, no, it's an LFA. We don't have to do anything. I'm like, why are we here? Like, I don't know. They're like, it's fine. But that's a car to really kind of keep an eye on. I know they've already gone
two
up
in the auction.
I was going to say, I know you have two of them in the auction. Are they both the same, or is one like a different edition? Do you have a Nürburgring?
One's the Nürburgring edition.
Yeah.
So it's one of 25 produced for the U.S. market. It is finished in absolute red. And you know, between having the two different cars, you get the two different styles. We have an orange one and a red one.
when if you guys fire I'm that
sorry,
car,
the orange one's the LFA is the Nuremberg. The red one is the other one. I've got the orange one in the studio tomorrow.
When you fire that car up, you're gonna think old school F1 V10 engine. Like the way it revs, the way it sounds, it's one of the best sounding supercars out there. It's a phenomenal car. What else do you think is worth taking a look at? Where are we going with the collector car market? Not just with supercars.
Another car that's been taking a run lately is Countach's.
Yeah.
And they've been on a hard run lately. And, you know, but also that Diablo. So I think the early supercars, Countach's have pushed up the prices of Diablos, but we're selling a 5,000 QV Countach 1988. And I think Wolf of Wall Street and a lot of notoriety has helped the Countach's. I think people also underestimated them. You know, and I got to admit, I wasn't a big Countach fan when they first came out. I thought they were too angular. I liked the slope nose Porsche. I thought it had much better lines to it. And it was Porsche pedigree. I got to tell you, Countach's are growing on me now. It's sort of one of those cars you keep looking at. You go, that car was so far ahead of its time, as was the Diablo.
I'm with you 100% on the Countach. Like, and I saw it in Cannonball Run 2, and I was super impressed. It was kind of look cool looking. You got the poster of it. And then I was just like, but, you know, is it a 959? Is it what's Ferrari doing? And honestly, it's not that easy of a car to drive. The pedal box is really kind of far over to the right, and there's not a lot of room between.
Forget about getting into it.
Yeah, like... For your right foot on the throttle, you basically have to take a shoe off because a shoe doesn't fit, but the clutch is heavy, so you need a boot on your left foot and barefoot on the right, basically, to drive that car. And then you realize you can't see out of it, but once I got in it and started driving it, I was like, oh, I get it. I get it now. This car is cool. And I was with someone, and he was like, you can't see out of this car. Aren't you afraid you're going to hit anything? I go, no, we're in a red Countach. Everybody sees us. You know? Like, I don't have to see anything. Everybody can see us. It's I'm not too worried about it. But yes, I mean, just the nostalgia of driving that car, the feeling you get is what really, I think, is making that car pop. And you're right. And the age group that had posters of that car on it can now afford that car. Some of them, you know, a lot of them can afford that car. And that's why those are moving. 80s, 90s cars. Look at what's going on with Mustangs and Mustang Cobras and Grand Nationals and GNXs and IROCs and the Camaros. Like, I mean, they're not headlining the auction yet, but man, what a jump over the past few years. Some of those cars are gone. And
that's what our future collector car show is all about, is really doing concourse judging on that entire genre of cars and a whole series of cars that were turned into tuners back in the day. And the car that won last year was a tuner car from the early 80s with all the original Japanese parts on it. So that's, you know, when you look at what Barry McGuire was, one that was telling me, well, look out at this segment, look out at that segment, because he goes to all the shows. And that's what we've really focused on. That's why McGuire's is the presenting sponsor of the Future Collector Car Show. That's where car collecting's going.
Yeah. And it's interesting to watch how that's moved. I mean,
the older you get, the more interesting it is to see the movements throughout the years. And then you learn to be able to predict them.
Well, it's kind of like, and it's like music for us. It's like, what music did you grow up with? That's still what you listen to now. Now, the music I grew up on is now on the classic rock station, so I got to change stations. But, but you know, like, when did Bon Jovi and Def Leppard become classic rock? Because Def Leppard just had one of the largest tours, you know, world tours recently. They said they just made more money this past year than they did at the height in 1987 or whatever. So cars are kind of the same, the cars that we grew up with, right? Sort of the 70s, 80s, 90s cars. And now you're right, that younger generation, the 2000s car.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Look at what's going on with
the cars they're making today. Put away a lot of them. I saw at Bill's collection. You know, I've put away a lot of the last calls and the GT500s and the last of the stick shift Porsches and all the cars that, you know, they're never going to make again. And I was like, I like driving them. So they're cool cars.
Yeah. You drive the hell out of your Veyron
in the future for sure.
Yeah. I remember you drove the hell out of your Veyron. I think you brought it out here to the studio at Adam Carolla's studio. You were just driving.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. And I remember just
miles on it.
I just remember cruising through. I think my brother and I were just driving through Scottsdale one day, and then we saw your Veyron parked in front of the diner. It's like, oh, Craig's getting breakfast. Just to take
gotta
it.
Gotta drive
diner.
Your cars.
You gotta drive your car.
On Goldberg's show, I got a new, Carolyn and I designed a new Bugatti Chiron. We unveiled it and drove it 1,300 miles in the first couple of weeks. So
let me tell you, I mean, I drove the Pure Sport and the Chiron, what an amazing piece of machinery. I get there's car manufacturers that can make a fast car, but very few can just do this total package. Like as comfortable and as nice to drive as that car is, and then how crazy fast that thing is. It's in a league of its own. And it's a completely kind of underestimated car because people are like, oh, I know these days the Koenigsegg is cool. Yeah, it's cool. It's definitely cool. Pagani makes a very cool, pretty interesting mechanical looking piece of machinery. But I don't think anybody does it the way Bugatti does.
No. And having Volkswagen behind them, and it's also when you take these cars out and you run them with a lot of other people, it's a great group of people that have bought these cars that like to take them out and drive them. We're selling a Chiron at this auction, a 2018, but the workmanship, it is a all exposed carbon fiber, blue carbon in the front, black carbon in the back, but how they bookmatch it all the way up the center of the car, over the top, through the wing, down the back of the car, along the side of the car, how the mat just comes and from one color into the next, and you can just see how they match the carbon, the fit, the finish, the quality, and then the technology behind it. It drives docile, it drives fast, it drives smooth, and you don't always get all those together.
When I drove the Pure Sport, one of the ones there had a lot of exposed carbon fiber on it. And I was looking at the Monroney on it, going through the prices. And I was like, I don't know, it's like a couple of $100,000 for paint. And I was like, there's less paint. Why are you charging so much more for less paint? And you're right. He said, because when we do exposed carbon fiber, it has to be perfect. The weave, everything needs to line up. Because when we paint the car fully, it can have a little waviness to it because it's painted. It's a different build process. How they make the panels and everything are really kind of different when you do the exposed paint. I was like, all right, so less paint costs hundreds of thousands of dollars more money. And he's like, yes.
$200,000 if you want exposed carbon on the front, another $200,000. You want exposed carbon on the back.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because there's plenty of them out there that only have half of it done, either fade from the front to back or from the back to the front. You could see that fade in it. And it actually is a very cool effect. The one that I saw that was like a red going into the carbon, it blended beautifully. They did such an amazing job on that car. So yes, and the history of Bugatti is the other thing that I think contributes so much to those cars as well. So
we're selling the Type 57, and we did an Instagram post because we had both the cars in the studio here, and they're both painted the same colors. So you can go from 1937 to 2018, and the Type 57 has the C pillar design in the side of the Type 57, just like the Chez Raw has. And when you stack them over each other, you see the Pierre, what he did, one to the other. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah. I can't wait to see it in person. Going to be exciting to go out there. Well, we're kind of running out of time. The other thing I wanted to touch on real quick was you guys did a deal with IMG. This has been all over the news. There's no secret here. Mm-hmm. They've acquired half of the company or whatever, 55%. I don't know what the exact number is. I don't know.
Yeah, 55.
55%. Congratulations on that deal. The recognition from that deal, the valuation is well deserved. What you and Thank your entire you. Family have built and what you've done over the last couple of decades now is been fantastic. What can we expect from that deal? Because this is IMG, by the way. IMG and Endeavor is a big company that's been really putting a focus on the event side of businesses.
Yes. And that's why I wanted them as partners. You know, they're a great organization. So Ari's been, you know, he rolled up William Morris, IMG, lately, you know, UFC and
WWE and spun that off and a TKO group, I believe it is. And Ari, by the way, the guy that founded this company and created William Morris and the whole thing. In the show Entourage, Ari Gold is based off of this guy, the real guy.
Ari Emanuel.
Yeah. This is the real guy. Ari Emanuel is the real
personality.
Guy. Yeah. So that's kind of the background on that. But yes, an event company, like you said, has bought up UFC and WWE and rolled them into it's
now it's how
company.
We all work together. So I did a deal with Dana White for his 12 days of Christmas, one of my highest Instagram posts ever, putting out a Barrett Jackson package. By the way, Dana White had been coming to Barrett Jackson before we did this. And, I love the team and their enthusiasm. You know, we're integrating more. On Location has taken over all the on-site hospitality. We're working on new TV projects. So, you know, the William Morris side of the company, just everything they have to bring to us. And at the same time, bringing and opening more doors. And I don't want to go too much into what our long-term plans are. But over the next few years, I think you'll see things evolving quite a bit and to the better. Ari loves cars. Mark Shapiro bought a car at the auction last year. They love what we do. It's not just by the numbers. It's by the numbers and the passion, and they get it. And what I also love is every time I ask a question, their answer back is, well, you know how to run the company. You've been doing it all this year. I always ask, can you help me do that? Absolutely. That's the right answer. They don't meddle. They're here to help.
Do you get to take a step back, slow down a little bit, maybe go into the shop and watch guide the youngsters?
First year integrating, we hired a new COO. We're hiring a lot of new people and some great people coming back to Barrett Jackson, like where we're going. And I think you're going to see a lot of great things in the future that'll help the hobby.
I love to hear it. I love to see that the future is basically secured for Barrett Jackson. And
that's why I did it. It was just me, my team, Steve and I. My kids didn't want to run it, so I wanted to get a partner that would take it on for the future, allow me to slow down and go out and do stuff. My goal is to go play with my 100 cars and drive and do road rallies and drive them all. Which is a hard task to do if you work all the time. So
You've earned it.
Yes.
Are we going to ever just see you sit in the front row in the audience? Or you're always going to be up on stage there.
I don't know. We'll see.
we'll get you a seat up on stage. We'll get you a throne. You can just sit up there and oversee the whole thing for as long as you'd like. I think it would be fantastic.
Well, that is my deal. I can be around as long as I want. It's my call. And slow down when I want.
Craig, thanks so much as always. By the way, thanks for the great event. Thanks for all your hospitality. You always take good care of us when we get out there. Looking forward to an incredible event coming up in a few weeks. If you guys have not gone, or if you're still on the fence about it, go to barrettjackson.com, get some tickets, check out some of the packages. Even if you just get in there for a day, just walk, check out the auction, walk the salon collection, and then do what I do is all the tents outside for the hundreds and hundreds of cars that come across the block on TV. Start at the end, hydrate, stretch a little, and then you'll be walking through those tents all day, going up and down. I go through and look at almost every single car up there. I almost do every single aisle. It takes me like 3 days to do it.
And bring your checkbook.
Yeah. If you can, listen, if you can't buy a car, there's plenty of other things out there, and everybody is so sweet. And the vendors have been fantastic. And you know that because they keep coming back again and again and again and again. And that speaks. Yeah.
And check out all the OEMs. I mean, so many new cars are launched at Barrett-Jackson. The Detroit Auto Show moved to the summer because we were competing. And I was getting more and more of the makes coming to Barrett-Jackson to do the unveils. As you get to go out and have that experience out in the ride and drive, it's very interactive. You know, we did almost 350,000 people through the gates last year.
It's amazing.
It is quite an experience. Take advantage of it. If you've never been to a live Barrett-Jackson, this year is going to be phenomenal. And come check us out.
You can't even describe. I mean, Bill, you can relate to this, and of course you, Craig. But we talked about this before, Bill and I. When I saw Bill wrestle in Vegas at Allegiant, and when the music comes on and he comes out on stage, the entire building just erupts. It's very exciting. I can imagine what it feels like for you. Some of these cars, when these auctions start to really snowball, I remember the Batmobile going and the room was crazy. Wasn't that was like a WWE event. The Batmobile going in there was just absolutely insane.
Having George Ferris sit on the top of it, dim the lights, shot the bat symbol, played the theme. You know, Linda Vaughn dressed up as the Catwoman leading the parade in, and the entire outside followed the car inside. And
oh my God, I got chills up down of my neck right now, because then it just like, by the way, great for George Barris, great for Barrett-Jackson. That car honestly pulled money that surprised everybody, and it was just the excitement in the room. The room sold that car. And if you guys don't get a chance to experience that, you're going to be missing something. So hope to see you guys all out there. I'll be out there. Bill will be out there. Sammy Hagar is going to be out there. Craig Jackson's usually busy, but he'll be out there.
Red Voodoo will be playing on Saturday night, the Sammy Hagar tribute band. So nice. Never know what's going to happen at Barrett-Jackson.
It's a good time for all. So guys, thanks so much. We appreciate it. Once again, drinkbravago.com is the website, brought to you by Bravago. If you guys want to try that out, we appreciate it. Go online and grab some. Well, guys, we'll see you in Scottsdale. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com. At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.